Hello. So today I'm doing a talk all about kind of meditation in midlife, but more specifically, how to stimulate the vagus nerve. So this, I feel, is actually one of the most important things to talk about and to understand and to learn at any time of life, but especially in perimenopause. Because when we understand the power of stimulating the vagus nerve, and when we understand the power of going into the rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system, which of course yoga and meditation are so extraordinarily good at doing, we really understand how we can actually influence hormone production at this life stage, and also how we perceive and experience stresses. So I thought I'd start this talk with an explanation of what actually is this vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve is actually the longest of the cranial nerves. It's the second longest nerve in the whole of the body. And vagus, the word vagus means in Latin, it means wanderer. And this is because this nerve literally kind of wanders from the brain through most of the body, and it connects with all the organs in the body. So it goes down through the neck and down through the throat and into the heart and the lungs and into the gut, into the digestive organs, the liver, the pancreas, the gallbladder, and then into the kidneys and also into the uterus. So these signals are constantly flowing from the brain to the body and then back from the body to the brain via this vagus nerve system. And toning this vagus nerve, working on making this vagus nerve actually function well, is absolutely crucial, because it's this vagus nerve that stimulates the parasympathetic nerve system, which is our rest and digest, our healing part of the autonomic nerve system. So when we improve our vagal tone, we are supporting the body and the mind to relax faster after stresses and to heal if there has been some damage. So studies have shown that there is a positive feedback loop between the vagus tone, between our vagus tone and optimal physical health and positive emotion. So our emotional state really comes into play as well. So that is, the more you support your vagus nerve, basically the more yoga you do, the more relaxation you do, that improves the tone of the vagus nerve and the body and the brain function better, and you're going to feel better overall. Now, the trouble is, in modern life, and especially for us women in midlife in particular, life is kind of full of these imaginary saber-toothed tigers. So we have got a lot of tabs open at the same time. And we have a lot of stresses in our lives that keep our bodies and our brains in this fright and flight state. So it's like when we evolved, it's like being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, a lot of saber-toothed tigers constantly being around us. And so that puts us in a state where we are constantly creating these inflammatory chemicals. And of course, an inflamed body and inflamed brain doesn't function very well at all. So that's why, honestly, one of the most important things that we can possibly do, especially in midlife, is to regulate our central nervous system. And in particular, sit with what is in this moment in time. And part of that is learning to manage our feelings and to manage our minds, which of course, yoga, once again, is just so brilliant for this. Just a thing to note, in perimenopause, when our ovaries stop producing the estrogen that we need, our adrenals kind of take over most of the production. We also get some from our brain, also from our fat cells, but the adrenals are really important. And our vagus nerve, like all the nerves of the body, are losing the effect of estrogen, because as estrogen drops and our estrogen receptors don't have that same estrogen, it means they just don't function as effectively as they did when we were younger. So basically it means that the nerve doesn't pulse, it doesn't pass the impulses down through the system as effectively as it used to. The impulses kind of travel more slowly. So when we are running around like mad women, when we're juggling lots of things, when we are exercising too hard, so this is a really big thing. I talked about this in the last talk, where when we are exhausted and stressed, and then we also layer on going for, say, a run or doing a HIIT class in order to try and maybe lose a bit of belly fat, what we're actually doing is we are overstressing the automatic nervous system. We're making this vagus nerve not work even more. And so we are constantly overtaxing the whole system, everything's speeding up and speeding up and speeding up. And so often that's when the body and the brain, it needs quick energy to deal with this stress, this feeling of constant stress. And that's when we end up reaching for the chocolate. We're just so exhausted, we need to have the chocolate. And as you know, the downward spiral of reaching for those carbs, those quick sugar hits. So it's basically after about 35 that the whole central nervous system starts to slow down, and it slows down faster than it does in men because we lose this estrogen. So now what we need is actually low intensity exercise. Walking in nature is absolutely amazing. Fluid movement, dancing, swimming, yoga, when we are mobilizing the body in a fluid, circular way, as opposed to just linear actions. So it's really, really important now to start focusing on movement that also slows the breathing rate down. That's really important. So what happens when we do reduce, so when we start to improve vagus tone and reduce that, that stress response? We reduce headaches, we balance our hormones, so we stimulate the pituitary gland, we start to balance our hormones. We improve our sleep quality, which of course, you know, sleep quality is absolutely prime for overall health and well-being. We reduce our response to stress and the impact stress has on us. We improve our energy levels, we improve our mental clarity, and we also decrease pain perception. So that's a really big one. Now, what are the biggest stimulators of this vagus nerve? So we know that the vagus nerve affects all the organs of the body. We want to make sure that this vagus nerve has good tone, that it is being stimulated. And these are the key things that stimulate it. I'll tell you why. So one of them is singing loudly. You know what you feel like when you've been to church at Christmas and you're belting out those Christmas carols, and how afterwards you feel this kind of buzz? Well, that's because, A, the big, long exhalations we're creating when we sing, when we create these endorphins and are stimulating this vagus nerve. So we want to be able to sing loudly. Sing loudly, especially big, low sounds like swing low, sweet chariot, that kind of thing. That makes you feel good. That's why you also at football games, people sing together and they feel really good. It stimulates oxytocin as well. So endorphins and oxytocin. Oxytocin is that calming, feel-good hormone. So also why it's such a powerful thing to do in birthing. Gargling is another thing. And the gargling, when you think about it, when you go, and you're gargling water in the back of your throat, you're also increasing your exhalation when you do that. So quite a nice thing to do is once you wash yourself in the shower, get some water in your mouth and just gargle with it. Start gargling. Vocal toning, I call it vocal toning when I'm doing yoga birthing, but it's basically chanting. So any long, low vibrational sound, this is something that human beings have always done. It's part of every single religion, this long, low vibrational sounding. So if you think about om, think about monks just chanting 24/7, chanting om, they're basically stimulating that vagus nerve, putting themselves into an extraordinary rest and digest state, a healing state, and also it opens up all the chakras. So it takes us into a very meditative state. Low vibrational sounding, vocal toning. The other thing is cold water therapy. So you guys who do your cold water wild swims will know this already, although you guys who do your cold water showers will know this already. And a big tip is to have your normal shower and then at the end just turn it to cold for a while and especially put it across your face and around your head. So even though there's this initial shock, that puts us into the sympathetic nervous system, basically, the body wants to go into homeostasis. So we will swing both ways. If we've gone into sympathetic nervous system, we'll then switch right into the parasympathetic nervous system. And you get this post-cold water feeling of just well-being, extraordinary well-being. And it's when all the endorphins are being stimulated and you just feel great. So adding in a minute or two, maybe with 3 or 4 minutes of cold water to your showers. Obviously, yoga. Yoga is just such a powerful tool for women in midlife. It really is. Physically, our bones are strengthened, our muscles are strengthened and lengthened. But mentally and obviously on this level of stimulating the vagus nerve, it's incomparable because we are really focusing on the breath. I heard about the study. There's a study that compared a group of people who walked daily to those doing yoga daily. And there was in the study, they found that there was a significant reduction in anxiety and perceived stress in the yoga group, as well as increases in the mood improving anti-anxiety brain chemical GABA. So that's interesting. When we consciously slow the exhale down, so when we breathe slowly, when we stretch the breath, we basically stimulate this nerve that goes down through the neck area and down into the heart. So this is where the vagus nerve is connecting. And this sends signals to the brain. And this helps us to lower our blood pressure. It lowers the heart rate. It lowers feelings of anxiety. So what we're wanting to do is slow the normal breathing pattern down, which is normally around about up to 14 breaths a minute. We want to slow it down to around 6 breaths a minute. And once we hit that little sweet spot, that's when we start to go into this parasympathetic nervous system. So I'm going to show you some tips to do that in just a moment. And of course, when we focus on the breathing, we slow our breathing down, that helps us to go into a meditative state. And meditation, it doesn't really matter what kind of meditation you do. If you are practiced at meditation, it's easier to then sit and be able to focus on the sensations of the breath. So it's a primary meditative technique. But guided meditations I find work really well, especially for busy midlife women, because they help guide us away from busy thoughts and guide us down into the sensations of the body. Some other things to just note that stimulate this vagus nerve as well is diet. Obviously, an anti-inflammatory diet is really important. Oily fish are really great for vagal tone. Massage. So newborn babies are often massaged in order for them to gain weight, because when you're massaged, this stimulates this perception through the skin. It can stimulate the vagus nerve and it improves gut function. So when gut function is improved, babies will tend to put on weight in a healthy way. Similarly, when we improve our digestion, that can help the vagus nerve be more toned. So one opportunity to do this is by intermittent fasting, just finishing your last meal, say about 8 o'clock at night. Don't eat anything after that. Brush your teeth and then try to delay your first meal in the morning for about 12, 14, 16 hours later. So maybe at least 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, have your breakfast, your breaking of your fast then, and just give yourself a good gap overnight where you're not eating. And that helps your digestion. It helps stimulate the vagus nerve. Being really mindful of your thoughts. Our thoughts are electrical impulses that spark off in our brain, but negative thought patterns will suppress the vagus nerve. It'll basically shut the whole vagus nerve down, and it'll keep us in that fight and flight, that sympathetic nervous response. So if we can focus on our breathing, our brain can really only kind of focus on one thing at a time. So if we can focus on our breathing, that will decrease our focus on thoughts that might stimulate feelings of anxiety and stress. So it's just recognizing that thoughts are electrical impulses. They are not who we are. They're going to pop up like popcorn the whole time. And actually, as human beings, we have got the power to choose which thoughts we think and which thoughts we allow just to pass through, you know, like clouds passing in the sky. We let some thoughts go. We go, there's that thought pattern once again. I know those. We just let those go. They're not who we are. And we use our breathing to then allow us to focus on the thoughts that are beneficial, that are going to help us. And we get into an upward thought spiral. Because what happens when we do anticipate stress? So generally, when we're in a negative thought patterns, we're either worrying about, so we're either dwelling on things that have happened in the past. And when you think about it, they are in the past. They are no longer real. The only thing that is real is this present moment, which is why it's called the present. It's a gift. So things that have happened in the past, dwelling on those things will keep us in the past and will keep stimulating the chemicals that were stimulated from, you know, conversations or events that happened in the past. Similarly, when we project and we think about the future, we anticipate, we can also produce these negative chemicals, the adrenaline and the cortisol in our body. So when we are sitting in the present moment, we're focusing on the breath, we tend to not be in stress so much. Because when we're focusing on the future, when we're worrying about the past, what we do is we tend to hold our breath. We go into that stress cycle where we're either chest breathing or very shallow breathing. It puts us in that fright and flight. And interestingly, when we're in fright and flight, that's when we start to create tension in the body. Tension equates to pain. And that tension equates to stiffness, especially in the muscles. That whole tension, pain, stiffness cycle tends to put us into more anxiety. And we're in that state, we tend to go even deeper into fear. And it's a constant downward cycle. So simply by recognizing that negative thought patterns are really affecting the whole of our body and stopping this vagus nerve, this precious vagus nerve, from being stimulated in the way we want it to, can help us to start moving away from that and into focusing on breathing, slow breathing, and being able to have a little bit more clarity of mind and recognizing those negative thought patterns for what they are. You know, they're literally electrical impulses. They're not who you are. So that brings me nicely onto the extraordinary benefits of restorative yoga and breathing in yoga. And I thought what I'd do is just teach diaphragmatic breathing and then a couple of breathing techniques, which are really going to help us to lengthen that exhale and stimulate the vagus nerve. So big thing to know is that the vagus nerve is only really stimulated, or the super highway to make it really toned, is the exhalation. The longer we can make the exhale, the slight constriction on the back of the throat that we get from gargling, we get from singing, we get from omming and stuff like that, that tones it even more. It helps us to create a longer exhale. The longer the exhale, the better off we are, basically. So what does yoga actually mean? Yoga, the word yoga means yoking together. And it is really the yoking together of the mind and the body and the spirit, and it's done through the breath. So a restorative yoga sequence can really help reset your whole central nervous system. And it's why I've got in the womenswellbeing.me space a whole chill out tent. And it's why I'm actually seeing if I can get a specialist restorative yoga teacher to come and take over that space and really give members access to some incredible guided meditations and restorative yoga practices, because it's just so, so important in midlife. Yoga helps us get out of our heads, get out of that thinking pattern, the chitter chatter of the mind, those potentially negative thought patterns. And it helps us just to drop into our physicality, into our bodies. And like I said, the key ingredient there is the breath. And we want to be using diaphragmatic breathing. Diaphragmatic breathing helps us to strengthen, it helps us with our flexibility, it helps us with our balance, but primarily it is the practice of mindfulness and of meditation. So, you know, in yoga, the main goal of practicing yoga, asana, the movements, the postures, is not to attain certain physical shapes at all. The goal is actually to create this internal space where once you might have felt stuck, especially around thought patterns, and actually to sort of move into an appreciation of this extraordinary instrument of life that is our bodies. So when we do that, it kind of leads us into much more of an awareness of this constant chitter-chatter of the mind. And eventually into a stilling of the mind. If you imagine a big glass of muddy water, and as we go through yoga practices, all that mud starts to just filter downwards, settle downwards on the bottom, and we start to have this clear water, and we can just see the mud at the bottom. It's when the egoic mind, the ego, starts to quieten and we can really sink down into that stillness that I call it the inner pilot light. Practicing yoga really gives us an opportunity to make peace with who we are in this moment in time, knowing that acceptance, and in yoga this is called santosha, acceptance of what is going on in this moment in time, is the key ingredient to change, especially when it is coupled with patient action towards a positive goal. And this is tapas in yoga. So this is why we come on to the mat a couple of times a week, maybe every single day. We come on and we just practice. It's called a practice. It never ends. It's a practice because we are constantly moving towards a positive goal. This is the tapas. Meanwhile, constantly checking in with acceptance, with loving acceptance on what is going on at this moment in time. That's that santosha. We do this with swadhyaya. Swadhyaya is a self-observation, where we're just observing the self. Yeah, and like I said, this has the effect of always leading to some degree of positive change. So the breathing to help us enhance that rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system. So the aim is to use the diaphragm fully and to use the intercostal muscles between the ribs and to use the back of our lungs, the lower lobes in particular, rather than just using the top of the lungs and chest breathing. When we are using the whole of the lung capacity, we are able to slow the breath right down, and we should see our belly rising and falling, not our shoulders. You can always tell a chest breather from A, the pace. Normally shoulders are quite rolled forward, and quite often when they're breathing, the shoulders come up in order for a little bit more space to become available at the top of the lungs, as opposed to these intercostal muscles being used and a full function of the lower lobes of the lungs being used. When the vagus nerve is stimulated, we slow our breath down from a typical kind of 10 to 14 breaths a minute, like I said before, right down to between 5 and 7 breaths. So let's say 6 breaths a minute. And you can achieve this by stretching the breath, counting the inhalation to say about 5, holding briefly, and then slowing the exhalation down to about 8 to 10 breaths. And it takes practice, and your lung capacity does change over time with practice. So what we want to do is expand. And I like to imagine it's like an accordion. We're expanding the lungs, stretching out, and then pressing the breath slowly back again out of us. So if you imagine intercostal muscles are like an accordion, as you breathe in, you're pulling the breath down and then out underneath the armpits, filling the lungs. And then as you exhale, there's a little bit of constriction on the back of the throat. So as we press the breath out of us slowly, we can feel that little bit of constriction, and the base of the rib cage slightly comes in to press all the breath out of us. If you take a yoga strap or a scarf or something like that, and you place it around the bottom of your rib cage on these floating ribs here, and hold it relatively tight so you can feel it against the ribs and across your back, this will help you to move into diaphragmatic breathing. Now, it's really, really important that we are nicely aligned with our posture, which is why I spend so much time on posture in my yoga classes. And almost everything I do in my classes is all about strengthening the extensor muscles of the back so that our shoulders sit in their sockets, and opening up the chest muscles so that we're not all rounded and constricted through the diaphragm. Breathing is so important. And the reason being also is the diaphragm sits on top of our pelvic floor diaphragm. But if we're rounded through the shoulders, if our head is poking forward, if our tail is tucking under, we lose that natural connection, and we lose the ability of our deep core muscles to function properly as well. So breathing and everything else in the body, how everything else functions, is completely interrelated. It really is. And I'm just going to put this in here as well. If you are doing high impact exercise or any exercise, you know, cycling, whatever it is, running, and your alignment is all over the place, if your pelvis is pushed forward, if you are heel striking in a certain way, if your head is pushed forward, if your shoulders are hunched, over time you are going to wear out your joints so much more quickly than if you spend a little bit of time every week realigning, opening up key muscles, and just spending a bit of time with TLC, not just whipping your body, but TLC of your body, hence yoga again. All right, so let's get back to this breathing. So I've got my belt, I'm holding it with one hand. You can see I'm dropping my shoulders back. So just give them a little roll backwards and then drop your shoulders down here. So there's lots of space between your ears and your shoulders. I like to imagine there's like a repelling magnet between them, and you're constantly dropping the shoulders away from your ears. So if you feel them scrunching up, just remember, rah, down. Then draw your chin back. So give yourself a bit of a double chin here. And then draw the base of the ribcage slightly back. So if you're a rib flarer, drop back with your ribs. So, and just make sure that your tail isn't all tucked under as well, so you're not sloping through your lower back. See if you can sit up with your behind, your bottom, behind you. If you had a tail, your tail would be nicely laid out on the chair or on the floor behind you. It wouldn't be tucked underneath your bottom. All right, so getting yourself into nice alignment. I always also like to imagine there's a string from the crown of my head drawing me up to lengthen the spine, and a string from the back of the head drawing me up also to lengthen the back of the neck and give us that little constriction on the back of the throat. So loosen your jaw and then try breathing in through the back of your nostrils, right? Not sniffing at the top of your nostrils, the back of your nostrils, and breathe in deeply. And as you breathe in, see if you can feel this belt being pushed outwards. So we're going to drop the breath down and then out like an accordion. And then as you exhale, feeling the ribs moving away from this belt, so you get a little bit of space underneath the belt. And then again, breathing in. so that we press the ribs and the back of the lungs against the belt. And then as you exhale, so imagine you're breathing like you have gills, like a fish. You're breathing into your gills here. Like a big shark. There you go. Wonderful. I also like to imagine that if there's a lovely vase, your breath is like water. It's pouring down to the bottom of your lungs, and then filling up out to the sides, and then coming up to the top of the vase or to the top of our lungs. And exhaling, we're just pouring the breath out of the lungs like we're pouring water out of a vase. That's the way. Now, see if you can cultivate a little bit of sound to your breath. But this constriction on the back of the throat that we create with our chin drawn in, we have around the goiters, there's a little bit of constriction. So it should sound like a soft Darth Vader, or imagine the ocean just running up the beach and then pulling off the beach. So we breathe in, soft jaw, but a little bit of sound. Fill the capacity of the lungs, pause, and then slowly exhale right down. Imagine you are pushing that accordion closed. Now see if you can start to slow the exhale even more. So let's breathe in for, say, 5 beats. 5, pause, and then slowly exhale right down. Pause at the end of the exhale. Breathing slowly in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, pause. And then exhaling. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Pause. And again. Pause and then exhaling slowly. So every time we slow that exhalation, we start to feel more and more relaxed. Now, I'm just going to take this away for a moment. You guys keep breathing with your belts if you want to just keep feeling that pressure with the ribs opening into your belt. I'm going to invite you now to add into your exhalation a buzzy bee sound. So this is called the Brahmacharya breath in yoga. And again, it just increases the tone of the vagus nerve by increasing the slight constriction on the back of the throat. And when we do so, we lengthen, we stretch that exhalation even more. And like I said before, the longer the exhalation, the more the vagus nerve is stimulated, the more the vagus nerve is stimulated, the more we're in that parasympathetic nervous system, that calm, rest and digest, which is the repair system. And the further away we are from that fright and flight, I've got too many tabs open, I can't cope, I'm overwhelmed, I'm not producing the hormones that I need. So we just breathe in like we did before. So breathing in through the back of the nostrils, slight constriction on the back of the throat so you can hear that ocean-like sound. And then on the exhale, it's a hum, it's like this. And just notice how much longer you can create your exhalation when you have got a bit of a constriction. If you just breathe in and out, even with the Ujjayi breath, which is what we were doing before, the yoga breath, it's still only, you know, 8 beats or so long. Add in a bit of vocal toning, add in that Brahmacharya buzzy bee sound, and we can make it even longer. So we'll try that again. Breathe in deeply. So I didn't actually count then. I'm going to count the next one. Just 3 of these exhalations can take you from a state of being anxious, wired, into completely chilled out, just like that. It's so powerful. I'm going to count my exhalation this time. So breathing in for, say, 5 beats. Mm-hmm. So I actually counted 20 beats then. So that was really long. All right. So when we add another layer to the long exhale, which is an inversion, a slight inversion, we amplify this effect even more, which is why, again, yoga is just so powerful. So I'm just going to lie down here, and I'm going to take my bottom onto my bolster. So I am actually in a very, very gentle restorative inversion with my heart below my pelvis and my head just below my heart. This, by the way, is a great position to relax the whole pelvic area. So really good for women, especially in midlife, because this is the area that we hold a lot of our tension. The other area is around our shoulders. And when we have a bit of pressure through the upper back here, this is where we have oxytocin receptors. A little bit of pressure here into the upper back area is also just telling the body that it's safe, that it's okay to be in that feel-good, relaxed, replenished state, as opposed to needing to be go, 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 go. And the last thing I'm going to say about being in a position like this, a gentle inversion, is that the little bit of pressure that we feel around the face helps us to relax the muscles around the eyes and around the jaw. And this also, these muscles here, relaxing these muscles consciously, sends signals to the rest of the body that it is safe to relax. So you could have your legs up the wall maybe as well, or over the edge of the bed or over the edge of a sofa, but anything where the pelvis is slightly lifted and the heart is down, the head is down, is ideal. The only one exception is if you have glaucoma, so if you have built up pressure on the eyes, you want to avoid this kind of position. But this will help us reduce our blood pressure, our heart rate, just calms everything down. Now, if you add to this slight inversion a buzzy bee breath, it really does amp everything up. So I'm just going to try that now. Breathing in. Really nice thing to do before you go to bed. So just winding down before you go to bed. Teach this to your kids. If your kids have anxiety issues, this is really, really powerful. A little bit of an inversion here. The other thing that is great for stimulating the vagus nerve is some acupressure points. And one that's really easily accessible is on your foot. So just in the arch of your foot, where the pink bit meets the white bit of the foot, right in the middle there is a key acupressure point, which can help stimulate this vagus nerve. It helps calm the system right down. So sometimes when I'm doing stretches in this slight inversion, I get students to put their thumb right on this acupressure point and just massage into it. So you might even want to try this now. Get your thumb and even through your socks, just pressing at the base of the ball of your foot, so where the pink bit merges into the arch of your foot, the white bit of your foot, right in the center there, and quite strong pressure just with the top of your thumb. And if you were to combine this bit of acupressure with an extended exhalation, maybe the vocal toning, the buzzy bee breath, it really does help calm everything right down. I'm gonna try that again, breathing in. Fantastic. So I'm just going to get off my bolster now. I'm feeling very relaxed, I've got to say, just from those few buzzy bee breaths out. The Brahmaharya breath. We also can do a similar thing with just a loose jaw, like I said before, in singing, but you can also just do the long, low sound. If you make it low, the low vibrations also literally filter through the water of the body, so amplify that whole calming effect. And the last breathing technique that I wanted to show you is called Nadi Shottana. So it's alternate nostril breathing, and it stimulates the vagus nerve. It calms the whole central nervous system. It also balances the two hemispheres of the brain. So for this, what we do is, you can imagine there's like a wishbone coming from the third eye point between your eyebrows, up one nostril to the third eye point, and then down the other nostril, and then back up to the third eye point and down the other nostril. And I like to put a bit of pressure on that third eye point with my peace fingers. So just putting the peace fingers bang in the middle there, and then use your thumb and your middle finger to alternatively block off one nostril and then the other. So if we start with blocking off the left nostril, sitting up nice and tall, and then breathe in slowly through the right nostril. Feel the breath going to this third eye point. Block off the right nostril and then open the left nostril and breathe out. Slow breath out. And then breathe in through the left nostril up to the third eye point. Block off the left, open the right, breathing out. Breathing in through the right nostril up to the middle. Block it off, open the left, breathe out. So breathing in one side, breathing out the other, then breathing in and then breathing out the other. That's one round. And you want to be doing about 6 rounds of this, up and down. And it sometimes helps to visualize that as you breathe in, you're bringing in clarity. So like a clear white light. And as you're breathing out, you can imagine that any mental chitter-chatter, almost like a dark smoke, is leaving your body. And as you continue the practice, that smoke is becoming lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter until both the in-breath and the out-breath are clear, and you've got this lovely white energetic light to this visualization. Now, if we just block off the right nostril and just breathe in and out of the left nostril, that amps up this practice even more. So we want to balance the two hemispheres of the brain. But then if we just block off the right nostril, what we're doing is we are opening up into the right hemisphere of the brain. So left nostril, right hemisphere of the brain. That is where we have our dreamlike state. So that is the creative aspect of our thinking ability. And this is really helpful if you wake up in the night and you're overstimulated, you can't stop thinking. Spending a few minutes doing alternate nostril breathing, so you're just balancing the two hemispheres, and then just blocking off the right nostril and breathing in and out, slowing that exhalation right down, but breathing in and out just through the left nostril, that can really help to calm the analytical thinking mind down and open up more into that creative dreamlike state. So there are some techniques just to calm everything down so that you can then sit potentially in meditation. Meditation really is a state where we've kind of moved into the stillness. And that's where the real beauty, the real power is, when we can start to co-create life with something that is bigger than ourselves. So I hope you enjoyed this talk, and please do practice stimulating your vagus nerve. The power of yoga and yoga tools, especially for women, I think, in midlife, in just calming the adrenals, the cortisol production, the adrenal production, and allowing the adrenal system to produce our progesterone, our estrogen, and our testosterone instead, is really very, very powerful. It also just makes us just feel better. It reduces vasomotor activity. So it reduces hot sweats, hot flashes, and it can just make us feel like we have more control. So we all want a bit of that, just clearing the mind, calming everything right down. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day. Bye.